When God shows us that He is about to move this mountain, and then He commands us, directs us to command that mountain to move in faith, then we should have the faith to obey and do what we see the Father doing and speak that word and confidently expect that that mountain will move because God has ordained it to be done. Whatever I see the Father doing, when He brings me someone to pray for because He wants them healed, I can pray in faith, in confidence that my Father is going to heal him, that He is willing to heal him. And I am going to pray in faith and move in faith because when God says, pray for this man and heal him, it's a matter of then of obedience, trusting Him enough to do what He commands me to do. And if we have faith as a mustard seed, Jesus said it will happen. Because God has already ordained it to happen. Now, if we get prayer for healing, let me also heal a couple of hearts here first. If we go up and get prayer for healing, or if we pray for someone to get healed, and we don't see any immediate result, please hear this. It doesn't necessarily mean that we didn't have enough faith. Because we've been there and done that. And people have come up for healing before and they didn't get healed right away. And as they were sent back to their seats, everybody was like, well, I guess they either didn't have faith or there was sin in their life. So you go back, you're not only still sick, now you feel guilty and condemned as well. Okay, I'm not saying that if you didn't get healed, it was because you didn't have enough faith. On the other hand, however, it doesn't mean that faith is optional. If we genuinely don't have faith, it can genuinely impact our success. I'm not trying to, you know, put condemnation or guilt on anybody, but also at the same time, I don't want to downplay what the Bible clearly teaches, and that is that God works through faith. He requires faith. He requires faith for salvation. He requires faith for healing. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So, David, yes. I'm getting there, brother. I know, because you know you hear the stuff of your spirit just leaps up, and it's like, well, amen, what he said, absolutely. In fact, I was just coming to that point. What's that? Wow, man, that's a word of knowledge, man. That's exactly what I had written right here. That's incredible. It's a miracle. But you're right. You're absolutely right. It may not be the faith of the sick person as much as the faith of the healer, the one ministering, the one praying for them. In fact, John Wimber did a study. He said Jesus never rebuked anybody who was sick for their lack of faith. He always only rebuked those who prayed for the sick who were lacking in their faith. What does that say to us? Wow. Yeah. Yeah. He's not out there heaping, you know, insult to injury. I mean, he had compassion on these people. Oh, you didn't get healed? Where's your faith? He had compassion. But he requires faith. He'll find it somewhere. He's got to get it from somebody, but he still requires faith because he chooses to work through faith. He frequently told people, and even the sick people, he told them that it was their faith that made them well. He looked at the woman who had touched the hem of his garment, who had, you know, gone and risked rejection and embarrassment and all that stuff, and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. And Jesus felt the power go out from him. And it healed that flow of blood that was inside of her. And he looked at that woman and he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you what? Praise God. He saw blind Bartimaeus. on the road. And when he healed him, he said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." He had 10 lepers come to him near Samaria. And he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were healed. And one of them came back and gave glory to God. And he said, "Wow, this foreigner, the only one that has faith enough to come back and give glory to God." And he looked at the guy and he said, "Your faith has made you well." He said it over and over. He said it to the woman. He said it to the blind man. He said it to the leper. "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." God may be willing to heal, but if we are not willing to believe, we may not see that desire fulfilled. God operates through faith. Now, one of the things that can affect our faith is the fact that not all healing happens right away. You come up for prayer, they pray all over you, man. They're dumping oil on you. They're laying hands on you. You can't even see. There's, you know, arms and legs and people praying all over you, shouting and praying in tongues and dancing and carrying on. And you get up and you still hurt. And that can take its toll on our faith. Not all healing takes place right away. Some take time and persistence in prayer to persistently pray and continue to pray. Now, when Jesus healed, pretty much folks got healed immediately, but even there were some times when there was a little bit of a lapse of time. The blind man in Bethsaida, Jesus put clay on his eyes and he said, "Well, go wash in the pool at Siloam." So while he was walking to the pool, he was like, you know, not only blind, but he couldn't see because of the mud caked in his eyes. But when he washed, he got healed. He healed another blind man. He spit in his eye. But he had to do it twice. He spit in his eye the first time. He says, "How are you doing?" He says, "Well, I see men like trees walking." So he spit in his eye again. And then he was healed. His blindness was gone. Took a little bit longer. The 10 lepers I was just talking about. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it says, as they went, they were healed. What if they stayed in one place? Still been a leper. Now, that was a short period of time. I mean, you know, he worked fairly quickly. But with us, sometimes it just takes longer. Sometimes the people we pray for are not healed immediately at the snap of a finger. And they can tend to lose their faith because of it and start to assume that God must not be willing to heal them. Have you ever done that? You went forward for prayer, you came back with the symptoms, and you said, "Well, I guess God just doesn't want me healed." Sometimes it takes time. But if God is working according to the degree of the power that's working inside of us, it might take a lot of prayer to release enough power for that healing to take place. If I got a turbine inside of me, man, every time I just start to pray, man, I mean, you know, chairs fly because the power is just like going through you. Well, it might not take a whole lot of time. I might pray and they might get healed right away. But I got this little trickle of power coming out. You know, it's like, we'll put the cup under there. We'll catch some of that and we'll throw it on them. You know, rivers of living water, but there's trees and stuff somewhere in the way. And it's just like, you know, dripping down my leg or something. If I got a little bit of power, I might have to pray a long time before enough power is released to really do the work of God. So number three, God chooses to work through our perseverance. Hebrews 6:11 says, "We desire that each one of you," Liamar, Jenny, Mark, Angie, Nick, Luke, Paul, Evan, on and on and on. "We desire that each one of you," and these guys on this side too, "show the same diligence." "Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the" what? "Till the end, so that you don't become sluggish," whatever that is. "But imitate those who through faith" and what? "Patience inherit the promise." Sometimes it takes faith and patience. If it takes patience, it takes faith too. Charles Spurgeon said, I love this. He said, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." Maybe that's why God told Noah 120 years before the storm, "Start building. I'm sending the snail. By the time you get done, he should just about be there." I want to close my message by reading you something. I've referred to this in prior times, but I want to read it right out of here. Dutch Sheets, who's a prayer warrior, wrote a book called Intercessory Prayer. "This testimony has meant the world to me. as I have sought to understand the will of God in terms of healing. This has been a cornerstone for me in being able to wrestle with these questions that come up. And I'd like to read you this little story, this true story of what happened. This is Dutch Sheets talking. It's a couple pages, but I'll... I knew the person I was going to pray for was very ill. What I didn't know was that she was comatose, with a tracheotomy in her throat, a feeding tube in her stomach, had been in that condition for a year and a half. How'd you like that assignment? Seeing her for the first time was like expecting a prescription and receiving brain surgery. Her sister, who had asked me to visit this young lady, had not given me the whole story for fear that I wouldn't go at all. If you got that call, my sister's been comatose for a year and a half. She's on a feeding tube and life support. She's got a tracheotomy in her throat. How many of you would say, yeah, I'll go pray for her? You got money for gas? For fear I wouldn't go at all. She knew if she could just get me there once, I'd probably go back. And she was right. The doctors gave Diane, not her real name, no hope for living, let alone coming out of the coma. Even if she did regain consciousness, she would basically be a vegetable because of her extensive brain damage, or so the doctors believed. Have you ever stood beside someone in this kind of condition and asked God for a miracle? To stand beside death and ask for life can be intimidating. It can also teach us a lot about death and life, about ourselves and about God. Especially when we stand beside the same person 60 or 70 times for about an hour or more each time throughout the course of a year. That's what he did. Visited her about 70 times, prayed with her for an hour each time. He continues, it didn't work out as I expected, because life rarely does. I expected the Lord to heal this young lady through our prayers in a dramatic, easy, quick way. After all, that's how it happened with Jesus. And he's got some bullets here. Number one, I didn't expect to invest 3 to 4 hours of my life each week for a year, including travel time. Two, I didn't expect humiliation and insults from the staff of the nursing home where she stayed. Three, I didn't expect to cry so much. Four, I didn't expect to be so bold at times. Five, I didn't expect to be so intimidated at times. Six, I didn't expect it to take so long. And seven, I didn't expect to learn so much. Yes, God restored Diane. He healed her brain, the outer layer of which the doctors had said was totally destroyed by a virus. The outer layer, the epidermis of her brain was totally destroyed by a virus, they said. Every part of it was covered with infection. No hope, they said. The front page of the Dayton Daily News, which is not the real name of the newspaper, read, woman awake, alive, healthy after 2 years in a coma. The doctors called it a medical miracle. We have no explanation, they said, though they stopped short of giving God the glory. It's Scratch Your Head Ministries. I don't know what happened. It actually happened on a Saturday morning when she was all alone. Earlier that week, Diane had been moved from the nursing home to a hospital for treatment of an infection. After administering more tests, the doctors determined her condition had gotten worse and informed her family that she would probably die soon. When Diane's sister relayed this information to me, I dashed off to the hospital. Knowing comatose people can often hear and understand everything happening around them, I spoke much to her. As we later learned, because of the damage to her brain, Diane was not hearing me. But on this Wednesday afternoon, I spoke to her as usual and said, the nightmare is almost over. With tears streaming down my face, I said, nothing can keep us from receiving our miracle. Nothing. The memory is forever imprinted on my mind. As I exited the hospital weeping, I remember saying to myself again and again, nothing can keep us from our miracle. Nothing. It was not just a strong hope that I had at this point, but a great faith. I had turned to God many times throughout the course of that year, asking Him if He had really sent me to this little girl. Each time I received His assurance, I sent you, don't quit. My persistence was rewarded when 3 days after that Wednesday in the hospital, Diane woke up with full restoration to her brain. News about the miracle spread to other nations. In fact, the nursing home where she had stayed received inquiries from Europe wanting to know about her incredible recovery. Every hour and every tear I had invested became worth the wait when I saw Diane awake and heard her speak the words, "Praise the Lord." It took a year. She'd already been in a coma for a year and a half. The doctor said the covering of her brain has been destroyed from infection. There is no hope. And when other infections began to set in, they said, "She's going to die. Get her affairs in order." And God healed her brain. Took a year of prayer. Please, please, don't get discouraged if you go up and don't get healed right away from the condition you're getting prayer for. Please don't start building a theology or even a worldview of failure because you didn't get healed immediately when you went forward for prayer. Please, please, simply worship God and persevere and seek to grow in understanding and continue to pray and continue to hope and continue to work in faith, knowing that Jesus said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Even if you have to get comfortable in your condition for a while, and you don't have to deny it. You don't have to say, "Well, no, I don't feel any pain in my back," when you're going, "Oh, no, I don't feel any pain in my back." Be careful not to curse yourself. I mean, that's possible too. But simply, if you acknowledge the pain, simply also acknowledge your faith in God, that He knows you, He knows your condition, and you are trusting Him, and you are warring to overcome the works of the enemy and get the freedom and the victory and the healing that you're looking for, and that nothing will stop you from laying a hold of that thing.